I want to begin this morning by asking you to visualize the life of a young boy who is 12 years of age. You might imagine him running, playing soccer in the streets, having fun. Now imagine that this same young boy suddenly acquires an illness. It's an infection of the bone. The illness is so severe that he has to remain in bed. Think of this active young boy lying there for a week. You might think about how he might feel, the disappointments, frustrations, fears. Well, that week in bed then turns into a month. That month turns into a year, and then another year, and another year, and another year, until ultimately the boy becomes a young man. He is 18 years old. For the 6 years of life that we might most associate with youthful vitality, his life has been largely confined to a bed. Further, imagine that this young man lives in a poor barrio of Lima, Peru, that nation's capital and largest city. The disease that limited him all those years is known as osteomyelitis, and for children, it's often associated with poverty. This young man who I'm describing was born in 1928 and is today known as Gustavo Gutierrez. While he rejects the designation, Gutierrez is frequently called the father of liberation theology. In case any of you are also wondering about his name on the cover of our bulletin, why it has an OP after that, that's because he's a Dominican of the Dominican Order, which is known as the Order of Preachers. And so that's why there is an OP there. So it was at the age of 18 that Gutierrez was finally able to leave his bed. But he would forever have a limp as a casualty of his illness. On the surface, the story of these earlier years in the life of Gutierrez sound like the very epitome of miserableness. Yet when Gutierrez recalls those years, he lifts up the spiritual and intangible gifts he received during that time. While I'm reluctant to describe too much to them, it's easy to wonder if they ultimately provided the experiential basis for the central theological themes Gutierrez would develop. One of the gifts Gutierrez received was the love and affection given to him by his parents and family. It's hard for me not to think of this gift when Gutierrez defends the central claim of liberation theology. This claim is referred to as God's preferential option for the poor. The phrase has been interpreted in a multitude of ways, but one could say it's embodied in our scripture for today. God's preference is seen in the very mission and ministry for which God anointed Jesus. Jesus is to bring good news to the poor. Critics, however, have charged that the idea of preference implies a favoritism on the part of God. It implies that God loves the poor more than everyone else. In response, Gutierrez argues that he does indeed believe in the universality of God's love. Moreover, he believes that the preferential option for the poor is consistent with this love. He explains, like a mother who tends most tenderly to the weakest and threatened of her children, so it is with God's care for the poor. God's universal love focuses our attention on the most vulnerable and endangered among us. The call of the gospel is for us to make the same choice, to take the same option. I can't but help to imagine Gutierrez first witnessing preferential care through the love of his mother while lying in bed. A second gift that Gutierrez received during the difficult years of his youth is evident when he recalls how the strong bonds of friendship that he formed at that time compensated greatly for the physical pain and limitation that he experienced. The theme of friendship surfaces prominently in a public talk Gutierrez gave back in 2011. He began the talk by asserting the first question of theology is, how do we say to the poor, God loves you. He explains his question in this way. It's easy enough to say the words, God loves you, yet to truly convey this message is a monumental challenge given the daily life of poor persons and their experiences of exclusion and non-love, of being forgotten, and of having no social rights. How do you show to persons living in a structure of violence, living in social injustice and seeming insignificance, that God loves you? For Gutierrez, the answer to this question isn't theoretical. It's practical. It's revealed in active opposition to poverty. It's revealed in a life of solidarity with the poor. It's revealed by living as an equal among the poor. Elsewhere, Gutierrez elucidates this by saying, if there is no friendship with the poor and no sharing of the life of the poor, then there is no authentic commitment to liberation, because love exists only among equals. Notably, despite his fame as a theologian, Gutierrez has always lived his life first and foremost as a parish pastor in a poor area not far from where he grew up in Lima. Even in his mid-80s, as a professor at Notre Dame today, he spends half the year ministering in Lima. Thus, Gutierrez spoke out of his own lived experience when he closed his speech in 2011 by highlighting friendship as a vehicle by which one shows the poor God loves you. In that same speech, Gutierrez also declared that the spiritual dynamism behind care for the poor is a close friendship with God. The gift of friendship and the gift of love from a parent both overlap with the third gift that Gutierrez mentions in reflecting upon the difficult years of his youth. In an interview, he once recalled, there certainly were reasons for discouragement, but also very present was the gift of hope that came through prayer, reading, family, and friends. In that same interview, Gutierrez explained his notion of hope. For him, hope is based on the conviction that God is at work in our lives and in the world. He then quotes a French poet and essayist who once said that hope is the little sister who walks between two taller sisters, faith and charity. When the taller sisters grow tired, the little one instills new life and energy into the other two. Hope never allows our faith to grow weak or our love to falter. This past week, my own faith got a boost from her little sister, Hope, when I was reading the most recent book by Gutierrez. It's a book that he co-authored with the famous medical doctor, Paul Farmer, who many of you may know as the focus of the acclaimed biography, Mountains Beyond Mountains. Farmer is a professor at Harvard, but the place he calls home, and he's called home for all of his adult life, is a small house in a squatter community on the central plateau of Haiti. He began living in this house in the mid-20s as he worked with locals to build a community infrastructure that would include a hospital and a school. According to the introduction to the book, legend has it that he spent more time in Haiti than he did in Boston when he was attending Harvard Medical School as a student. Farmer would ultimately co-found an organization known as Partners in Health. The first sentence of the organization's mission statement reads as follows: our mission is to provide a preferential option for the poor in healthcare. As an act of solidarity, Partners in Health now brings the benefits of medical science to the poor in a dozen countries. Farmer's writings are filled with references to liberation theology, which continues to guide his medical work. One of the points that Farmer makes is that it's almost natural for doctors to have a preferential option for the poor. Study after study shows how diseases themselves frequently have their own preferential option for the poor. The poor are much more likely to be sick than the non-poor. Because of this, Farmer believes that the field of medicine has a clear mandate to devote itself to populations struggling against poverty. Sadly, our own medical system seems to devote itself to the opposite mandate. Yet people like Farmer are making a significant difference in countries with high rates of poverty. There's a poetic justice to Farmer's work. As one of the preeminent examples of those who have sought to embody and live out the legacy of Gutierrez, he effectively combats the diseases that afflict the poor, diseases just like the one that afflicted Gutierrez as a child. In the work of Farmer, there is hope, there is good news. This Lenten season, may we be aware of the poverty in our world, may we be aware of the suffering of others, and may we be aware that it is precisely amid this poverty and suffering that we find the hope that Christ first brought to us. Let us continue the legacy of Gutierrez. Let us be a good news people. Let us be a people of hope. Amen.